Welcome to Words of Life podcast. We hope you enjoy this message by Darren Tanis. For more info and resources, visit wordsoflifeintl.com.
Praise the Lord. How's everyone doing this morning? You good?
Good.
You ready?
Yes.
Blow our minds.
Blow your minds. Tall order. So, I really got so much I want to share, and I don't know where to start. So, I guess we'll start at the beginning. Genesis, right? And we'll work our way over to maps. We should be there by next week Thursday, so blessed are the short-winded, right? No, I've really been praying. Let's just start off with prayer. Father, we thank you today that this is the day that you have made. We will just rejoice. We'll be glad. We'll take our joy from your presence. We love being in the presence of our Father. We love the heartbeat of God towards us, and our heartbeat is in sync with yours, Father. And today we ask that, Holy Spirit, you fill my mouth with words of encouragement, words of power, words of to change lives and atmospheres, to bring us into a newness with you, and to be bonded in love with one another. Holy Spirit, I ask that whatever I speak is from your heart, not words of man's wisdom, not corrupt words of man, but words breathed and inspired by the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Right. So we're at prayer, so I guess it's good always to talk about prayer, right?
Yeah.
But one thing that's on my heart about prayer is this. It's important to know what we pray, because Ephesians says, I think it's 6 and 18, it says, with all prayers, every kind of prayer. So there's different types of prayer. There's, you know, if you read the Old Testament, even the New Testament, you see that there was the prayer of Habakkuk upon the Shigionon, and David also quoted and prophesied according to the Shigionon, which is an ecstatic, dramatic type of prayer. There's prayers of warfare, there's cries of warfare, there's prayers of praise, thanksgiving and supplications, intercession. So there's many kinds of prayers. So it's important to know what to pray in the season. But I think it's also important to know from where we pray. And when I started studying under a rabbi years ago, I was about 18 when I started going to rabbis to just learn a little bit more on the Old Testament, get in depth, and also to improve on my Hebrew. And one thing I noticed throughout the Jewish people is they're very emphatic about the tabernacle or the temple today. And God said to me, take note. Their central focus, if you take away the temple from the Jewish people, you take away the tabernacle, you take away that, there's no atonement whatsoever for their sins. There's no atonement, therefore there's no righteousness, therefore there's no connection with God. Right?
Right.
So what makes them righteous now? There is no temple, there is no ark. Right? So the biggest thing is they're trying to recreate a place to dwell with God. And if you look at it, when God first spoke to them in Exodus, is it all right if I quote the scriptures and you write them down? Because there's a lot to share, and I want to be short as much as I can be, and that's saying a lot for me. So is it okay if I quote them, you write them down? Everyone taking notes?
Yes.
Okay. So Exodus 25, verse 8 and 9 says that they must build me a sanctuary that I may dwell amongst them. God wants to, so it says that sin reigned from Adam, and death reigned from Adam until Moses, right? But then it stopped because there was a temporary, a type and a shadow, a foreshadow of what was to come, right? According to Hebrews 8, there was, and death no longer reigned. It only reigned from Adam until Moses. Then a temporary system, a temporary institution was established that man could connect and dwell with God again, right? So he says, let them make me a sanctuary that I might dwell with them. God's goal was to dwell with man. His heartbeat is to be with you, right?
Yes.
That's the heartbeat. That's why the tabernacle is so essential to the Hebrew people, to the Jewish people, that I may dwell amongst them. According to all that I show you, build it exactly upon that pattern. Right? And all the instruments of, and they must be sanctified, made holy in every possible way. So some translations say it, build it precisely, not one piece missing or over-exaggerated. Precisely as I show you. Why is the tabernacle so important? Because it is a roadmap of how God connects with us. And what's this got to do with prayer? I'm going to show you. When we know where we're praying from, our prayer carries more weight. And I'm going to say some things and I'll back them up. I'll come back to them, but I want to make these points across in case I don't get to everything. We should not pray towards heaven. We should pray from heaven. Okay, I'm going to say it again, and you're going to catch it this time. We should not be praying towards heaven. We should be praying from heaven. Right? We have been given authority from on high to establish the kingdom on the earth, to establish God's will and his rule and his reign. Are you with me?
Yes.
Are you going to burn me at the stake?
No.
All right. We have to pray not towards heaven, not towards the Father, because the word says we can boldly enter the throne of grace and obtain mercy at a time of need. The veil has been rent. If anyone prays, oh, that you would rend the heaven, you're praying against the work of the cross already, because the veil is rent. Heaven is being torn open for you, right?
Right.
But without understanding, without looking and seeing the revelation and the process, because there's a process. Paul even said, not that I have obtained. Pastor Ali explained that really great on Sunday. It's not that we've obtained, but we're stretching, we're going towards it, we're straining to get there, but we can't get there if we don't understand the process. There's a process involved in maturing from an infant to a toddler. There's a process. So too in your heart, in your soul, in your being, there's a process that you have to go through to understand. How do I get there? Paul says this, he makes an outlandish statement, and that would get him killed with the Jews. He says, we are seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. We are seated. That means, and then Jesus says things like, I do nothing that I don't see the Father do. But Jesus, you're here, the Father's there. He says, exactly. He said, but I do what the Father, what I see him do. So to be connected to him, it's it's this virtual pipeline where you can see him, he can see you, heaven and earth colliding into one space and time and doing the will of God. So for us to pray towards heaven is pointless. For us to pray from heaven and to work from heavenly places is much more efficient, and that's how prayer gets answered. Let me tell you what God does with any person who prays outside of believing what they receive. Your cries are not going to move him. But what he will do is he'll store them in a bottle. But he's not going to answer prayers from a cry. Your screaming and shouting, it's great. But it doesn't move God the more you shout and scream. What moves God is a person who comes to him believing that he is everything he says he is, and believing that he will do it because he said he will, because he's good towards us. That's how you move the hand of heaven. Not through screaming, shouting, crying. Those things are great. They're going to make you feel better, but they're not going to move heaven. I have to operate from heaven to move the hand of God, because he has given me the ability to do and the power to do of his good pleasure, right?
Yes.
So why the tabernacle, Darren? Well, it's simple, and I'm going to use my little board thingy over here. All right, so everyone knows the tabernacle. I'm sure you're familiar with it, and don't judge my drawing. I didn't go to art school. This is one of the things I've taught the most, I think. All right, let's go this side. That's not the Greek sign, that's the menorah, just so you know. All right. There's the ark and the angel wings. All right, so let me start like this. To understand, I think we need to, if we start from Earth's side, we go this way to the presence, right? Because first things first, so you got to be crucified with Christ, right? Hello? Okay, crucified with Christ, right? So let's look at the lives of the disciples, right? How they came about to this revelation, I guess. So Jesus said to them in John 12:25, he says, if you love your life, you'll lose it. If you hate your life, you'll gain eternal life, right? So he said, but to follow me, you have to lay down your life. So what happened at the altar? The sacrifice was done. The cow was burnt and the sheep and whatever. So there you go, you sacrifice. Then the next thing he said to them is, listen, you have to get your mind straight. You got to think my thoughts. You got to get your mind on the kingdom. So you got to renew your mind. He said, now you are clean by the words which I have spoken to you, right? So what happened at the laver? They done their ritual washings. There's the word restoring the mind, right? Now we get to the awesome stuff. The outer court, let me tell you, the outer court deals only with the body and the soul. The inner court is everything to do with the working of the Spirit, right? So then you get the infilling of the menorah, the Holy Spirit, representing the Holy Spirit. Zechariah 4, Revelations 15, it talks about the seven spirits of God, the fullness. Christ had the Spirit without measure, right? This is all elementary, right? Okay, so that representing the Spirit. The infilling, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, having the Spirit in you crying, now Abba Father, right? Then you have prayers where now you can make your requests known to God because you're righteous and your prayers can be heard because you've done all the ritually clean things. Then you get the table of bread, which is the benefits of salvation. That's why Jesus said to the woman, is it just to give the children's bread to the dogs? And she said, how about if the dog gets the crumbs? That's good enough for her miracle, right? Then you get into the holy place, the living with God, Revelations 21. So can you see there's a process of going from there to there, right? Most, and I say this respectfully, listen to me, church. This is the church at large. We're struggling to get past the outer court, okay? We aren't even seeing the works of the Spirit. We're seeing the gifts, but we're not seeing the works. You see, Israel, they were acquainted with God's works. We're acquainted with the works. We know prophecies, we know this, but we don't know his ways. John 3 says, a man of the Spirit is likened to the wind. He knows not where he goes nor where he comes from. You know, when you understand the ways of God, you'll be the most, you'll look like a hippie. Okay? Yeah, man, I don't know where I'm going, bro. It's just here, there, everywhere. Yeah, totally, man. You'll be so anointed with joy above all the brethren, you know, when you've got the working of the Holy Spirit in you. We really, and totally, bro, for real. Hippie power, flower power. No, I'm kidding, right? And then our prayer life. How many can say, you know, my prayers really, everyone can say this. There's a time when I walk into my prayer and I feel like I'm just hitting the ceiling, right? I don't feel like I'm connecting. My prayers aren't touching God. I just feel, and there's other times we feel, oh, great. And then I'm praying, but still nothing's changing, right? And then we have the odd prayer here and there that, oh, God, you heard me. Thank you. Right? Let's be real, right? Okay, I'll be real. Y'all be holy. pretentious. I mean, holy. And then the benefits of salvation. Do you know what the benefits of salvation really are? Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who heals all your diseases, who forgives all your transgressions, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowneth your head with loving kindness and tender mercies, right? Those benefits of salvation, there's so many of them, and hopefully we're going to get to touch into them. But did you know that Jesus said in the Gospels, there's 12 I give yous, and there's 12 loaves of bread on each side for the children. So six on the side and six on the other side, representing the 12 tribes of Israel, right? And then the holy place, the seventh day rest, the presence of God, where God dwells, that's where we want to enter in. But Jesus, coming from the Father, he came a whole nother way. So we go that way. Jesus, he does everything the other way. So he says, all right, I'll come from the Father. So let's go this way. So Jesus says, I come from the Father, right? He had the Spirit without measure, right? Yes. He said, Father, I know that you always hear me when I pray, but for their sake, I'm going to pray out loud, right? So his prayers were always answered. He was the distributor of the bread. He's the one that gave. I give. So he gave. Then he said, you are clean because I have spoken to you. And then he finished his work by ending and sacrificing his life. So we come this way, he comes that way. That which was first will be last, and that which is last will be first. Because the kingdom and the realm of the Spirit work in opposite. So that's why I'm saying it's not from how we pray always. It's from the position where we pray at. Do I understand the full price of salvation? Do I understand the work of the cross being manifested in my life? And do I understand that when Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, that was the same promise as God saying, I am with you now forever. His name was given Emmanuel, God is with us. And if God is with us, then God is performing these tasks for us and through us, right? So why when we pray, do we pray almost one direction, like this prayer's got to hit heaven right now, this prayer? No. If I understand the word, and if I renew my mind, and if I realize I'm dead to myself, then I'll step into the position of saying, okay, Jesus, you're the hope of glory in me. You pray. Praying in the Spirit is not just always tongues. Praying in the Spirit means that I'm going to allow the Spirit to pray through me. Out of your belly shall come rivers of living water. It's tongues, but it's also not tongues. It's the Spirit of God speaking, the authority that I have in Christ Jesus to do the work of the kingdom on earth. Right? Are you with me? Are you going to burn me at the stake? All right. So I want to show you some of those breads that Jesus gave us. The Gospel of John, you'll find a lot of treasures in there. So I want to show you from Scripture where he says, John 16:28, I come from the Father. John 11:42, he always hears us, right? Focus more on Jesus' process than you understand your process, right? If you study the original long enough, you'll never fall for a counterfeit. I heard that from someone over here. I don't know who. Right? And then he says, he was given the Spirit without measure. All right, do you all know the seven spirits of God? Where to find them? But what they are? Isaiah chapter 11. Let's turn there. I want to show you that praying in the Spirit, there's some power to praying in the Spirit. And I really hope and pray that today when we pray, we're going to pray in the Spirit. We're going to connect to the Holy Spirit in a way, and when we connect, we're going to have authority to do, right? So Isaiah chapter 11 says this, and there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. Okay, that Spirit, the Spirit of the Lord means lordship and power, okay, authority. That's the Hebrew. And the Lord said unto my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make all your enemies your footstool. God said to his son, sit at my right hand till I make death the last enemy, your footstool, and you'll overcome death, hell, and the grave, right? So this is lordship, to overcome and get authority and power to rule with Christ Jesus, right? Not rule yourself, you rule in him. There's no power outside of him. Let's just establish that. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, right? We walk in him. We work in him. In him we live, move, and have our being. Thank you. All right. So the power of the Lord, his lordship, will rest upon me in connection with him. I'm a co-heir with him. So I'm a co-benefactor in him. So I can't do anything lordship-wise without him, right? So it doesn't mean you rule. No, he rules in you. And you rule here because of him. Okay? The Spirit of the Lord will rest upon him. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding. Okay, Lord, wisdom, understanding, right? The Spirit of counsel, 4, might. The Spirit of knowledge, 6. And the Spirit of the fear of the Lord, 7. Are you with me? And you shall make of him quick understanding in the fear of the Lord, and he shall judge not after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. He will do everything the Father tells him, because the Spirit will be in him without measure. And the fear of the Lord, we know that that is not fear and cowardice, but it's respect and reverence. Jesus said, I will do nothing outside of what my Father does. He was so anointed with the Spirit of God that he'd done nothing out of his own but except that that pleased the Father. That's why he came down twice and he said, this is my Son in whom I am well pleased. That's why the psalmist writes, thou art my Son, this day have I begotten. When he was filled with all the power of God. He was born God, but God acknowledged him publicly. This is my Son. This is the power. This is the Christ, the anointed of my right hand, which I've sent to you, right? So the 7 spirits of God rested upon him. Now, that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, the same Spirit, where does it dwell? In you. Doing what? Quickening your mortal bodies. Okay. Making, and it also does what? Testifying that you are the sons of God. Okay. So if I've got the Spirit in me and I pray, then I can pray with lordship, with wisdom, with knowledge, with counsel. How do you think Daniel could counsel a nation and Joseph a nation? They counseled the world because they had the Spirit upon them. This nation needs godly people filled with the Spirit so that they can counsel. Right? Knowledge. The fear of the Lord, bringing back righteousness, bringing back truth, right? Yes. Understanding. Understanding is so much to do with the Spirit. How to interpret dreams and visions. It all comes through the Spirit of understanding. The Spirit of might, power. Elijah had the Spirit of might so strong on him that when soldiers came to him, he just said, if I be a prophet, let fire fall from heaven. And now, I don't suggest do that because then you don't know what spirit you are according to Jesus. You know, but imagine you had might and you walked into wherever. You know, I remember the first time I actually experienced something like that, I was being detained at the airport, nothing out of the normal in America. And I was sitting there, and I'm nervous, and this lady, I've just given up everything to be here, and this lady says, I'm going to deport you. And I'm like, oh, God, why? And I felt him rise up in me, and I'm praying under my breath in the Spirit, and I felt him rise up and said, ask her if she's a Christian woman. Now, this term is foreign to me. I don't know why I phrased it like that. God only knows. I said, ma'am, are you a Christian woman? She said, yes, sir, I'm Baptist. And I took my fist, and I slammed it on the table, and I said, well, you're standing in the way of God. She sat back in her chair. Now, let me tell you, she was packing. So that was stupid. Okay, I don't suggest you do that. They're packing that side of the airport. And I'm like, oh, Lord Jesus, it's a fire. And she sat back and she's like, okay, give me a. She came back and she stamped my passport with big eyes and said, go. You know, now, did I get stopped again? Oh, yes, you can bet it. But, you know, you've got might. You've got power. Look at the generals of God, what they've done just in the 40s, 50s. Look at Lester Sumrall, almost took over the Philippines because they had a spirit of might in them. But we got such weak church people today that are, oh, Lord, help me, Jesus. Help me, Lord. You know, I don't know if I can carry on. You better carry on. Do not get weary in well-doing, for in due season you will reap if you faint not. But there's so many fainting, fluffy Christians out there. We need to slap them upside the head and say, get some might. Get some power. Right? I don't know where this is coming from. Jesus help me. And the Spirit of the Lord will be upon them. And in the last days I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will see. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Your handmaids and your servants shall prophesy as well. Come on, it's time for the church. Do you know that when he said, oh, rend the heavens and come down, oh God. Verse 4, you drop down. He said, neither has I perceived, neither has it come about the hearing of men, the things that you have prepared for the people of God. And then 1 Corinthians chapter 2 comes, says, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for those who love him. Next verse says, but now is made revealed unto us. How do I see? Well, the Holy Spirit came upon you. I see because you get vision again. Ears hear because you're going to hear prophecy. God's going to speak again. Okay? Hearts will understand. Why? Because dreams will come back. And dreams, according to Job 33, says, God speaks once, yet twice in a dream, in a vision, and men perceive it not. But in his heart, he seals the instructions. Your dreams, your visions, your eyes will see, your ears will hear, your heart will understand. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is going to come upon you, and you're going to have power. You're going to have vision that you won't perish. You're going to have a purpose and a destiny set out for you so that you can fulfill the kingdom of God on the earth. If you don't get weak, if you don't get weary, faithless, fluffy, fragile Christians. No, we're full of might, power, and we got the Spirit of God within us to do, right? Not to wish. I think it's time that we should stop wishing and start doing. Then look at what all the things that Jesus said he'll give you. Those are the breads now. He says, I'll give you rest. Matthew 11, 28. Then he says, I'll give you keys to the kingdom. Right? In Matthew 16 and 19. What do keys do? They unlock.
Open doors.
Right? And then the very next verse says, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loose in heaven. Let me tell you, there's a better way to translate that. And I'm not sure of the translation. I think it's Williams or Young's. It translates this right. It says, "What you can bind what heaven's already bound. And you can only loose what heaven's already loosed." So when Jesus went up to heaven, he bound the enemy. He cast down the accuser. Everything that Satan has done has been bound up in heaven. So what's in heaven that's bound, you can bind on earth. Okay, because heaven is a superior realm. And whatever is loosed in heaven, you have the authority to loose on earth. So what is loosed in heaven? The stripes of Jesus are loosed in heaven. The power of the kingdom is loosed in heaven. It's ready to come on earth. Jesus prayed, let your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven, so that the power that's in heaven, that's locked up, is now loosed through the people of God. That's why Romans 16 doesn't say God will crush Satan underneath Jesus' feet. He said under your feet, your enemy, the devil. Jesus has already defeated him. He's given you the power to do the same. And in fact, the devil is half of what he was before Jesus got there, because he said he disarmed him and he defeated him. So he's just a head with a body. For those of you who got that, hallelujah. All right, keys. Now, the same. Then he says, Peter, because you got the revelation of who I am the Christ, the Son of the living God. He says, because flesh and blood, remember, flesh and blood, the outer court, did not reveal that to him. But my Father, which is in heaven, so it came from the spirit realm. So Peter got anointed to understand who Jesus is. He got to understand who is before him. He said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. This revelation came from heaven to me. He said, Peter, because you received it from the Spirit, now you will become my rock. And upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail. So it took me a long time to understand that gates are not an offensive weapon. They're defensive. And how you bring down gates in biblical times is you put a big rock in a catapult, and you flung it at that gate, and it brought down the gate so that you can get the spoils in the city. Okay, no one got that. Okay, Peter, you're on my rock, and I'm going to catapult you, and you're going to bring down the gates of hell, and they will not keep you out from establishing, getting what heaven has got for you. So another scripture, for the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. Okay, are you with me? Y'all make a person preach. I'm a teacher, not a preacher. Don't make me do this. All right. I'll give you power to tread on serpents, scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy. Nothing by any means shall harm you. I give you power. Dunamis, kratos, iskos. You want to name all the Greek ones we can, but power means authority. Power means ability. Power means strength. Power means might. You've got the power. You've got the spirit of might to do, to undo all the works of Satan in your life. Okay? I will give you a mouth and wisdom that your adversary, the devil, cannot speak against you. Your mouth, let your speech be seasoned with salt so that you can answer every man. The Holy Spirit will come upon you and he will take your mouth. James 3 talks about that tongue, that though it's a little member, kindles a great fire. But if you in the spirit, he says, I'll give you a mouth, a regenerated mouth, and wisdom to speak my stuff. All right? I'll give you the living water, John 4. Did I tell you mouth and wisdom was Luke 21, 15? Then I'll give you my flesh for your healing. I'll give you my blood as a signifier of the covenant, right? 6 and 7. I'll give you eternal life. I give you a new commandment that you love one another as I love you. My peace I give you, my peace I leave you with you, John 14. I give you my name. That means I give you myself as your bride, as your bridegroom. So you take on my name, that you can do the works I do and have be a co-heir with me, right? And then I will give you the Spirit, the Comforter. Just like I have him, you will have him too, because you and I will be one. And then you can look at John 14 for all of that, right? So everything that he gives us is for establishing the kingdom of God, for having power on the earth to do. Everything. And it's all laid out for us so beautifully in a little tabernacle. Why? Because the ultimate goal was to dwell. Tabernacle means house, dwelling place. This is not supposed to be head knowledge. This is supposed to be revelational knowledge. Because revelational knowledge has an intimacy with the knowledge. Head knowledge puffs up. And I could take you through more things and give you the Greek and the Hebrew. But I think the most important thing for us to walk away with is that if you abide in him and he abides in you, you have power to overcome. You have the ability to set right the works of the enemy in your life. And when you pray, don't pray towards, pray from. Because if all the promises are yes and amen, and we sing that song, but we miss the revelation, because the revelation is not the promises are yes and amen. That's a guaranteed. But where, the position, where are the promises yes and amen? In him. And the church has forgotten to abide. The church has forgotten to abide. We know how to do, but we don't know how to live. We can do church great, right? Everyone can. I mean, I've traveled through a lot of churches around the world. I tell you, there's some churches in Germany that you wouldn't think. I mean, they play a saw as a musical instrument. It's crazy. They know how to entertain. We know how to sing. We know how to work in our gifts, but do we know how to live in him? Do we know how to abide? Do we understand that I need to die to my own self, that I can resurrect with him? Then I must be purified by him. 1 Corinthians 1 and 30 says, Christ has become unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Do I understand that that is a process of cleaning? Zechariah 12 and 1, there shall be a fountain open in the house of Jesse for sin and uncleanness. My sin is dealt with by the blood, but the washing of the water of the word deals with my unclean life. Not that you're clean, you're in the unclean, You're in the world, so you're going to get dirty. You're going to get weighed down. Do not, Hebrews 12, get off everything, every weight and sin that so easily entangles you. Why? Because your habitation is not yet in heaven. It's on the earth. But you can be co-seated on earth and in heavenly places if you would just throw off, strip off, be washed, and enter into the holy place, and then the most holy place. That's why we need to live a life in the Spirit. Because when you're in the Spirit, the world does not cling to you. That's why John writes in 1 John, he says, "Beloved brethren, love not the world." Make a final divorce with the old lifestyle and get into the Spirit. Because your prayer, praying in the Spirit is Ramba Shakata Rebede. But what if I'm in the Spirit and I'm praying, "Father, thank you for the victory. Father, thank you for the breakthrough." Not praying towards a goal, praying from the victory, praying from the place where Christ abides. Because there, where He is, the promise is yes and amen. Not there where I hope it will be. There where I know it is. And when I pray from that place, that's when there's power. Right? That's where there's power. It's not praying towards, but rather praying from. A positional mindset, a reposition of a mindset to, I'm not going to pray in hopes of. Yeah, I know faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. But verse 6 of Hebrews 1 tells you how it works. For he who comes to God must believe that he is. Now, that is a Hebrew similitude. What is he? Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Nisi, Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Ishkadu, Jehovah Namach, Jehovah Deus. All those. That he is all that he says he is, and that he will reward me if I believe it. And I seek after it. How do I seek? Well, you can't go hoping. You have to go finding. I don't have a hope. When Abigail gets older, she's not going to have a hope that I hid Easter eggs there. She knows I did. She's just got to find them. That's the same thing. I know God has given me promises. I have to find them. She needs to walk first, but we'll get there, right? I know God's given me promises. The thing is, I have to find them, not hope that they're there. That's the mindset of a son. The mindset of a servant is that I hope I will get. All right, I'm going to say that again. The mindset of a servant is in hopes towards. The mindset of a son is, I will get. Amen. Galatians 4 says, "Now a child differs nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all." If you are not trained, and it says, and he's under governors and tutors until the time appointed by the Father to maturity. It says, if you're not mature in your thinking, if you're not mature in your spiritual life, you differ nothing from a servant. You're going to go from hope to hope to hope. And that's good because that's where we start. But there has to be a point where we mature, where we've trained ourselves in the Word of God, in the promises of God. We've trained ourselves in His Spirit to know where we're going, where we're hoping for. Not that we've obtained, but we're going to train. We're going to strain. You know, Pastor Ali said, it's straining. You know, you don't lift up a bigger weight until you've strained that muscle. The soul with your faith and your spirit. You're not going to get more until you've strained it. And then the time appointed by the Father when he sees that's how a son acts, then you step into a son. Then you don't have a hope, then you have a knowing. That's why 1 John says, but we know. Not we hope. Not we believe. Not we're trusting for. We know. That same know is the same know in Hebrew that yada, that means intimately acquainted with. Okay? That same know. These are Jews writing this book. But we know. Not we think, we know. We know we will get it. Because we're sons. And because we're in Christ. And Christ is in us. And His Word. That's why He said, abide in me and my Word abide in you. And you can ask of the Father anything and He'll give it to you. But we know. Why? Because the Word is working in us. The Word that was made flesh is dwelling in us. His Spirit is activating the power and the promise of God that we can get and that we can do. Because it's not anymore of a knowledge basis, but of an intimacy that we know the Father. We know the heartbeat of God. And we love the Father because we have heard of him and we have seen of him. Why? Because eye has now seen, ear has now heard, and it's entered into my heart. I know the plans he has for me. Now I'm intimate with the plans that he has for me. Plans to bless me. You know, when he said to Abraham, I will bless thee. Here's something interesting that you're going to like, and it's a little bit of Hebrew. And you can pick it up in Genesis 26 and 3. He's talking to Isaac, and he said, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto your father Abraham, thy father. So that word swear, it's not cuss, it's swear, promise. It's the word Shabbat. And it comes from the root word Sheba, which means this. In its denominator form, right, its power form, its original form, it means to seven oneself. Are you with me? To seven. One, unos, dos, tres, seven. To seven oneself. Now, you can find it in the Strong's. Go get yourself a Strong's. Go get yourself some stuff that you can study this. The Strong's number, it's 57... No, sorry. It's H7650. H7650. And it says a primitive root, and it means to seven oneself, in parenthesis, to repeat oneself seven times. Okay? And its root word, just add a one at the zero, it's 57651. It means the cardinal number seven as a sacred or full one. Means God could, and that's why Paul says it this way, when God could swear by none greater than himself unto Abraham our father. There's none greater. So he swore by himself and by all his spirit, the sevenfold spirit of God, that he will bless us. And you're engrafted into the promise of Abraham through Christ. So God said, by nothing greater than himself, you will have everything I have given you. In blessing, I will bless you. In multiplying, I will multiply you. So get it. I will bless you. 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 Okay. I will bless you. 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 I will multiply you. I will multiply you. I will multiply you. I will multiply you. I will multiply. I will multiply you. I will multiply you. I swear by none greater than myself, because there is none greater than me. I and my spirit have said, I will bless you. The blessing of the Lord makes rich and adds no sorrow to it. Father, help. Sevenfold. Seven, the number of God, the signifying the Spirit. His lordship will bless you. His wisdom will bless you. His knowledge, his might, his power, everything that makes him will bless you. God himself will bless us. And then you see Revelation 21, it says, and they shall be his people, and he shall be a God, and they will dwell eternally with him. If you want to know what the end result is of your life, is Revelation 21, the fullness of that chapter. It says, and when all the plagues are gone, and when everything is done, he will be your God and Father, and you will be his people and his son. And we will dwell in heaven, and our names will be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And there we will abide forever. I want to challenge us as a church not to pray because it's what we do, but to pray to what we want to see fulfilled of God on the earth. You know, we get caught up in the mediocre parts of life. You know, yeah, we pray for our nation, we pray for this, but what about not praying as a hope towards, but maybe not arrogantly commanding things to be right, but understanding that we have the authority in Christ to set things right in order. What if we were to pray and say, Father, we thank you because we're in the Spirit. We thank you that all these abortion clinics will now stop. Yes. Father, we thank you that righteousness will reign in this nation. Yes. Why? Because I know you always hear me. And anything I ask in Jesus' name, meaning in position of where he is, I can have because I'm with him, in him, and through him, right? So what if I come in the place called Spirit, in the secret place of the Most High where I abide, and I come into that place through the Spirit, and I say, Father, I thank you. You know, praying in the Spirit is this. Riva shoku, brinene suku. That is that, but it's more. Building up most holy faith by praying in the Spirit, meaning I'm in the Spirit. And I knew a man who was caught up in the Spirit on the Lord's day. He was caught up. John says, and I was caught up in the Spirit. What if we get caught up in the Spirit and then we pray? Then we're not praying towards heaven, we're praying from heaven. And the kingdom can only be established from the place of authority, which is higher, heavens for height and the earth for depth. And the deep calls out into the deep. The depth in God and the depth in me call out. We merge together and then we start doing something on the earth, something that will avail. He sent forth his word and it will not return to him void or without power. Where is that word dwelling now? In you. I abide in you. You abide in me and I in you. And my word in you. The word abides in me. So the same word that went forth in Isaiah and said it will accomplish everything it was sent forth to do, that same power is in us. Just the position where we use it from has to be changed. And that place, Jesus said, the hour comes and now is when we will worship in spirit and in truth. Okay? It is, the hour has come. Jesus has rent the veil. We can go in the Spirit. We can worship and we can thank him because it's already done. And we can pray it through from the place called Spirit because it's open. The veil has been rent. Right? I see a lot of angry eyes, so I'm just going to stop right there. Y'all look like I took your candy or something.
It's
good. Smile. You know, that's why he said you were anointed with the joy of the Lord. You know, look joyous, not confused. A cow looks at a new gate like that, you know. It's terrifying. I can run real fast when I have to, you know. Yeah, y'all ain't burning me at no stake. All right? It's not so much what you pray or how you pray. It's from where you pray. Pray from the holy place. Pray from the secret place of the Most High. The veil's been rent. Obtain mercy. Bring it back. Put it on the earth. Establish God's will. And see the work. See the salvation of the Lord in the land of the what?
Living.
I'm not preaching a kingdom now message. I'm preaching kingdom.
Okay.
The kingdom is now and forever. I'm not preaching foreign stuff. I'm preaching just the word. And we got to take it and run with it. Jesus paid a very expensive price. Let's not waste it. If this generation doesn't take it, another will. And then we'll say the same as the people in Hebrews 11. They without us could not enter into it. You know, that we're not going to enter into it until the next generation comes. No, I want to get the portion. Joshua said, I want my portion now at 80. Let's get it. Let's get the kingdom of God stirred up in us. Let's do the will of God. Let's see the will of God fulfilled on the earth. If the rapture comes and takes us, it takes us. But let's leave the world changed. Let's leave the world renewed, revitalized, because why? We were in it.
Yes.
And we got the revelation that the veil is rent. The pathway is clear and open to the seat, the throne room of God. And when John got up there, he said, and I saw the Lamb slain before the foundations of the world. And he was slain still in the throne room. Amen, right? Amen.
hope you were encouraged by this message. You can get more messages like this and resources on our website, wordsoflifeintl.com. Remember to send us your prayer requests.